Short prayer. Father God, we do pray you honour this time with your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you anoint my words by your Spirit. And Father, bless us all, we pray. Amen. So I'm going to reflect on the passage from Galatians, probably written in 49 AD, maybe in the early 50s. And Paul writes to defend the true gospel against false teaching. The false gospel he was dealing with here was from the Judaizers, who were preaching that Christians still needed to keep the law. So the obvious example would be that men, they were telling men they should still be circumcised as part of their commitment to God. And Paul is having none of it. In chapter 2, for example, he says, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. No one is put right by obeying the law." Only one person has managed that anyway. I'm assuming you know who I'm talking about. Jesus Christ. He continues on this theme. All who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written from Deuteronomy, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. I want to suggest, I'm not sure I know every religion, but I want to suggest that's what stands us aside from every other religion in the world. The religions I know, you've got to do good works. Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, we are saved by faith alone. And that's a central theme of this letter. Martin Luther, you've all heard of him, haven't you? He famously called this, Galatians, he famously called it my epistle. It was his one of his key messages, one of the key messages of the Reformation. And then we get, in the final verse of our reading today, we get talk of the promise, and I gave a lot of thought to this. It concludes by saying, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What's the promise that Paul is talking about? Well, we go back to Genesis, and it says, look at the sky and count the stars. This is God talking to Abraham. If you're able to count them, then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. But the key, I think the next verse is quite key to understanding this. He says, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. So God makes Abraham a promise. Abraham believes him. And because of his response, Abraham is named righteous, or he could have said holy, or he could have said a saint. Not because of good works, and not because he obeyed the law. The law hadn't even been written then, that would be 400 years later with Moses. So Abraham knew salvation by faith alone. And in Galatians chapter 3 it says this, I'm still thinking about understanding the promise. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. So I think all I want to say on this is through faith we receive the Holy Spirit. Through faith we know salvation. And the promise or the covenant, which is the word we often use, might be understood like this. That the cross stands above it all, doesn't it? The cross stands above everyone. The cross stands above all time, before and future. And all who receive Jesus, all who will receive the Holy Spirit, all will be saved. As Abraham was saved by faith, so are we. Faith in God. And then Paul says, why then was the law given at all? And then he tells us, He says, well, it was added because of the transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. That's the right slide. No, that's the right slide. So Paul is saying that the law was added because of transgressions, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But the law was given until. So it wasn't permanent. It was given until Jesus came. And when Paul talks about the seed here, he's clearly got somebody in mind, hasn't he? Jesus Christ. And he's thinking of Genesis 22, where it says, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. But when you look at the word offspring there, it's in the singular. So it's one person, Jesus Christ. Through your offspring, Jesus Christ, all nations on earth will be blessed. Well, that word has truly been fulfilled, hasn't it? We are blessed, aren't we? As all nations are blessed. So the law was added until Jesus appeared. But what was its purpose? It was added because of transgressions. How do we understand that? I think we can understand it in two ways, and I think there's truth in both. That the law was given to restrain transgressions, and that the law was given to make transgressions known. Probably the emphasis is on the second one, but of course there's truth in the first point, as Paul points out later. The law was given as our guardian. Which kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If you know what's right and wrong, it's helpful in terms of how trying to live like that. But it seems to be the second point Paul has in mind. Elsewhere, he says in Romans, through the law we become conscious of sin. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. So the point is this. Sin was in the world before the law came about, but sin was not always known as such. The law reveals sin as sin. So it might be said that the law turns sin into transgression, transgression of the law. And in this way, the law performs the function of showing us our need of a saviour. That makes sense. It illuminates our woefulness, our sinfulness, so we need someone to save us from our sin, becoming more aware of it. The law is temporary until the seed of the promise referred had come, Jesus Christ. And then I came to verse 20, and this was hard to prepare this sermon, and I looked at my commentator for help, and he said, this is probably the most difficult verse in Galatians to interpret it, if not the entire New Testament. But I'm going to spare you the countering views. But the sense is that the law is inferior because it was mediated. The law came through Moses, whereas God spoke directly to Abraham. It's a minor point, and I wouldn't want you to spend too much time reflecting on it. Verse 21, Paul then says, well, is the law opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. God gave us both the law and the promise of the Holy Spirit. They're not in conflict. The law is not bad. In fact, it is so good that if you could keep it, you'd be saved. 22. Again, we get this repetition, which Paul is good at, and we need it, don't we? The law fulfills its function. It makes humanity aware of the fact that it's in the control of sin. It controls humanity. And we realize that our attempts to please God through good works or through legalism will not work. Instead, we receive the promise of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to skip that. But then come back to the final verse again. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's spiritual descendants. He is the first person recorded in Scripture to know faith in Jesus Christ. We are his spiritual descendants. As he put faith in Christ, or God, as he knew him then, we have put faith in God. This is a little bit simpler. What do I want you to take away this morning? 2 points. The simple truth that we cannot earn our salvation. All who try will fail. We know salvation through grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ. The Judaizers preached you could do it, you had to do good works, and there are many false gospels similar to that today. Even sadly, at times in the church throughout our history, which is why we are grateful to Martin Luther and others for the Reformation. And the second point I want to make, which I haven't touched on before, is this, that because we're not under the law, that is not license to live as you want to live. I think you all know that. It is certainly not. We who have received the promised Holy Spirit are called to live in accordance with the Holy Spirit, in submission to the Holy Spirit, as Paul makes clear in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Control. Against such things there is no law. So brothers and sisters, know yourself as children of God, true descendants of Abraham. We have received the same Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ. I encourage you to live in accordance with the Spirit, in submission to the Spirit, for the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.